Please be seated. Today's lesson from the book of Job I find to be a beautiful passage of Scripture. I know I'm not alone in this. Others think this. I think it's also a really important passage of Scripture for us. It offers an important reminder to humanity. In this book, prompted by his friends, Job has been asking questions about why he's so afflicted with suffering, with loss. What are God's intentions? And so Job wants answers of God. And in this passage, God basically puts Job in his place. God reminds Job, wait a minute, you're part of the creation. You are not God. You cannot understand all of God's ways. We hear God say to Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Now, of course, if Job is to answer honestly, he's got to say, I was nowhere. I wasn't there when God laid the foundations of creation. The reality is that when God lays the foundations of creation, humanity is not present, has not yet been created. And though we are created in the image and likeness of God, made for intimate relationship with God, we are still nonetheless creatures made by God. We are part of the whole creation. And I think we humans regularly forget that fact. We forget we are part of creation. We forget that we are not either apart from or above creation, that we are in fact in charge of the created order. We often forget we are not God. But as a reminder, we only have to look at creation. The forces and powers of the created world are indeed beyond our control. Storms rage, the earth quakes, the sun bakes, the wind chills, and we are at the mercy of those forces. Creation both supports life and threatens it. For example, we cannot live without water, and at the same time, the power of water can take life from us. I wonder if that's why water is at the heart of our lives as Christians, how water gives shape and meaning to the sacrament of baptism. In baptism, we are baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus. In the waters of baptism is both found eternal life, but we also die to the old life in order to rise to new life in Christ. In the ancient world, the sea was seen as a dangerous and hostile place, its forces greater than the power of humanity. Ancient peoples believed that storms at sea were caused and ruled by demons and gods and sea monsters. In those waters lurked great danger, destructive forces just waiting to take away human life. And Scripture is clear that God alone has sovereignty over the waters. God speaks creation into being out of the watery chaos of the formless void. The people of Israel are delivered from slavery through the waters of the Red Sea, led by Moses walking on dry ground, while the Egyptians drown. In the story of Noah, God brings waters upon the earth in a great flood. And God's power later then withdraws the waters, ending the flood. And in the story of Jonah, there's a great storm. And Jonah is asleep on board ship, and the sailors awaken him and implore him to pray to God, his God, for their safe deliverance. These all show how the sea is a dangerous place. It's also a place of God's deliverance. It is the place that God alone has power to save and to deliver. In today's gospel, Mark tells of a storm on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus has been teaching from a boat throughout this chapter. Last week when we heard Jesus teaching about seeds and scattering seed, he was in a boat, although that wasn't clear. After Jesus told those parables, he tells his disciples, as we heard today, to cross to the other side. And as commonly happens on that body of water, a great storm rises up. And it's important to remember the disciples are experienced in boats. They're fishermen. And yet they cannot manage this bad storm. That boat is buffeted by the waves, it's being swamped. They fear they will perish. And as unbelievable as it seems, though this storm and potential disaster looms, Jesus is asleep on a cushion. While his disciples fear for their lives, Jesus rests unaware of what is going on around him. And so the disciples wake him up, saying, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And Jesus wakes up, rebukes the wind, calms the sea, saying, "Peace, be still." And all becomes calm. This account in Mark is important. It reveals who Jesus is. God alone has the power to still the waters of creation. God alone can speak a storm to end. God alone brings peace in the midst of chaos and potential destruction. Jesus, with three words, transforms the sea, saving the disciples. And Mark is showing how Jesus is the Son of God, the one with sovereignty over creation, though the disciples do not understand this. Now, I don't know about you, but I might expect at this point, after Jesus saves them, that the disciples would give thanks. They would rejoice that Jesus has saved them. Something like we hear in our psalm today, which tells of the people's response to God's deliverance. This psalm dates to a time after the exile, when the people are freed from exile and restored to their homeland. It opens, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever." The people are praising God in thanksgiving, extolling God for acting on their behalf. They rejoice in God's deliverance. But those disciples in the boat do not quote Psalm 107. They do not rejoice. They question, who is this Jesus who has authority over creation? And Mark tells us they are filled with great awe. Now that's one translation, but I think awe does not actually express what the disciples are feeling, what Mark is telling us. The King James Version gets closer, translating it as, "they feared greatly." The original Greek literally means they were afraid with a great fear. That's about as afraid as one can be. And so unlike in Psalm 107, the disciples' response to Jesus' authority to calming the storm is not joy, but it is great fear. Mark is contrasting the faith of Jesus with the fear of the disciples. Jesus can sleep in the boat because he has faith that God will keep him safe. He is able to remain calm in the face of the storm. Jesus' faith gives him peace in the midst of chaos. Jesus has complete trust in God. The disciples, though, are not there yet. They do not have strong faith, and so they know fear. And while the storm rages, they worry they will perish. And their response is to expend energy to respond to the forces around them, to try to overcome the storm through their own effort. As I said, this account in Mark follows that account of the parable of the seed that we heard last week, where in that parable, the sower scatters the seed, allowing it to fall where it does. If you remember what happens next, the sower then goes about life, sleeping, rising, not attending to the seed, just letting it happen, letting God give the growth. Jesus is like that sower. Jesus sleeps trusting God. He doesn't worry about that storm. But the disciples, meanwhile, are putting a lot of energy and effort and time trying to save themselves. They can't yet trust God. It's an important message for us, for while we are not in a boat, and maybe won't be, there are still storms that come to us in life. Just in the last few years, we've seen literal storms, the destructive forces of nature, particularly with climate change. Fierce storms that destroy life and home, wildfires consuming everything in their path, earthquakes bringing destruction and loss of life, volcanoes covering communities with lava and ash. And then there are the storms that come to us in our own lives, not caused maybe by creation, but equally challenging, potentially frightening. Sickness and death can touch all of us at any time. Families have difficulties, may become estranged. Jobs are lost. We can know times when life seems without meaning, when we're not fulfilled. It can be unclear where God is leading us, and we can wonder, what does God intend? We might feel like those disciples in that boat, tossed to and fro, taking on water. Certainly in our parish we can know storms as well. Last week we received at last a proposal to restore... I see people going like this. The proposal to restore the tower and the west wall, and as we expected, is a large amount of money. And I will lie to you, through this whole process, I have had times of real fear. I have had sleepless nights. I've felt like those disciples in the boat. But as I have moved through it, as I have prayed through it, more and more I'm seeing this is an opportunity. It lies before us, and we need to take the steps along the way to achieve it. We need, in fact, to trust God in this. On Tuesday night at Vestry, we talked about this proposal and how we approach it. And ultimately, the overarching theme of our conversation was that, our need to trust in God, to not act from fear, to not worry that God will let us sink. Jesus reminds us to have faith. Into the storminess of life, Jesus comes and says, "Peace, be still." God alone can bring peace into times of suffering, of conflict. God alone can bring from the sorrow of death the joy and promise of resurrection life. And we are called to trust in God's sovereignty and power. Though the forces of evil and sin and suffering and death, even the forces of creation, seem greater than we are, we have something stronger. We have God's promise and fleshed in Jesus. Just as water gives life itself, so we too are given life by water, baptized into the death and also the resurrection of Jesus. We are claimed as God's own forever, adopted as God's children. Bread and wine are given from creation so that we may be fed with the body and blood of Jesus, that we become what we eat, that we become the body of Christ. The promise of Jesus is not that we will never know fear, that we will never worry the boat is taking on water and we're in danger. There will always be circumstances that challenge, if not frighten us. But Jesus reminds us that these things do not have ultimate power over us. They are not the last word. Jesus is. Jesus has won the victory. The powers of sin and evil and death have been defeated. And we are set free to trust. Trust that nothing will ever separate us from the love of God. That Jesus has set us free to cross through the stormy waters of life to the other side. And so this day Jesus comes to us and says, "Peace, be still." And all creation obeys. God's word destroys all the forces that threaten us. God's word is spoken to calm our fears. And we can have faith in God's promise, not losing hope, not surrendering to fear. because Jesus travels with us. Jesus invites us to get in the boat with him, to place all our trust and hope in his power, in his unfailing love. And in this certainty, we can rejoice and we can praise God. Amen.